Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side. Inside. It ain't the left side. Left side.
Thank you, Solo D. Welcome to another episode of On the Fin Side here with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. I'm Brian Kat, NFL on Twitter. Paul is Fanatic_Pick. My typical microphone isn't quite working here today, so I'm doing this more from my landline. But we have a special guest here. We're joined by Saray Poole from the Draft Brawl podcast. He also covers the Chargers in the NFL Draft with thefirstpick.com. So, Ray, how you doing today?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Good. Thanks a lot for joining us here. So I've got to ask, with you following the NFL draft, take us back to April. The Dolphins had the 5th pick. The Chargers had the 6th pick. Who was your preference at the time between Tua and Herbert or somebody else? And what is your preference now here in November?
So in April, I was a huge component of the Chargers trading up for Tua. I had Tua as QB2. Obviously, Burrow was the one, and Herbert was 3. I was higher on Herbert than a lot of people was. Herbert got a lot of unwarranted hate during the process. But I wanted us to trade up for Tua. Even with the injury, I thought he would fit well with what we wanted to do on offense. Right, Rivers goes on to the Colts. Now I'm happy it panned out how it did, right? We got the quarterback at 6. We didn't have to move anywhere as far as, you know, giving any draft capital away. And Herbert's panned out, man. I was I'm happy that it panned out the way it did in terms of him coming in. And I know a lot of people didn't think he'd be ready to play right away. And I was one of those people who thought he wasn't ready to play right away. But I'm happy we stuck with Herbert, and I'm happy he's playing well, man. If only we could, you know, keep find a way to win some ball games.
Yeah, And I've got to admit that you said unwarranted criticism in the draft for Herbert. I'd be lying if I didn't say I was one of those people. It's not that I didn't think he'd be a good quarterback. It's I didn't think he'd be great. And now here I am looking at his stat line. He's completing almost 68% of his passes, over 2,100 yards, 17 passing touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns on the year. And he didn't even play the first couple of games there. So, you know, it looks like everything that he was criticized for, you know, maybe a lack of touch, maybe a lack of feel for the game, was definitely overblown there in April.
I agree. I think if you go back and just watch, you know, the tape from when I was breaking them down, a lot of things that people said was they don't know if the mental aspect of the game is what he was ready for. A lot of people, kind of the same thing when Marcus Mariota came out of Oregon. You know, these spread offenses are, you know, looked at as negative now, and I'm not really sure why. It's the way the NFL is going these days, man. It's pass. Look at the Chiefs, man, a great example. There are very few little teams who are a run-first offense now, and I think that Oregon didn't ask Herbert to do what he's good at, and that's a vertical passing offense, you know, stretch the football, throw the football down the field, and make big plays. You know, the Chargers are allowing him to get on the move. There's more design quarterback runs in the offense. There's a lot of stuff that Oregon just didn't allow him to do. I mean, he was very good at Oregon, don't get me wrong, but I think it just took the correct offense and the right coaching to get the most out of Herbert, and that's what we're seeing with the Chargers now.
Certainly, and this next comment, don't take it as trash talk before the game here, but the Chargers are the best 2-6 team I've ever seen, and I've got some evidence for that. You look back, starting, 5 weeks ago, they're up by 17 to the Bucs, and Bucs come back. They lose to the Saints in overtime at New Orleans in Monday Night Football. They beat the Jaguars, and then the last two games, they lose on the last play of the game to the Broncos and the Raiders. So Herbert's a star, and the Chargers obviously have a very good receiving core as well. What do you think the Chargers need to do to put a win on the board here in the upcoming few weeks?
Man, you put a great point on it. Realistically, the Chargers should be 7-1, right? And the outlook on Anthony Lynn and Gus Bradley is a lot different. A lot of people wouldn't want them gone. But when you're not winning ball games, not only this year, but, you know, since 2019, the Chargers are, 3-15 in close games, dating back to last year, 0-9 of division. So, you just got to finish games. I think a lot of what the issue is that Anthony Lynn, we come in the first half, he's aggressive. You'll see him going forward on fourth down. You're starting to see Gus Bradley send more pressure. He's not just sitting back in zone coverage. He's starting to find ways to get the team successful. But I don't know what it is. I don't know if the second half, we just don't have the same competitive edge. We're not, from my knowledge, from when I watched the games and go back and watch the All-22, in the first half, we're playing and coaching to win the game, and we're aggressive. In the second half, we're just laid back. We're not playing to win. We're just coasting through, and then we let teams back in games, and then we don't shut the door on them, and then we're in a position where we've got to make some miracle plays, you know, to win a game. And obviously, we're not built for that, right? We're not the team to sit here in the fourth quarter down 5 seconds to go, and we've got to every single week. I shouldn't have, you know, every Sunday have to watch this team either come from behind or blow a lead, and then you lose on the last play. So I really think it's just be more competitive. I think the coaching has been seriously conservative coming from Anthony Lynn, and I think he coaches to lose is what it looks like sometimes. I think he just needs to get back to his competitive and his aggressive nature, because that's what got us in 2018 when Rivers was here, that we won those close games. We won 13 games,
sure,
and we won a wild card game in Baltimore on the road. It was the same exact thing, except for the switch was flipped. So I think he's got to get back to being more aggressive. That's all it is.
Yeah, and looking at his options to be aggressive with, Keenan Allen, I think he's got 64 catches on the season. I mean, we're 8 games into the season for the Chargers. So he was on pace for 128. Mike Williams at the other side, also a very fine number two guy. Hunter Henry at tight end. I mean, Herbert certainly has the options, and I think that's such an underrated part of the quarterback spot, is that you've got to give him some weapons when he comes in instead of asking him to make the weapons.
I agree. And I don't even think that the offense is really the issue, man. I think it's more of a defensive thing, man. Going back to the most recent, you know, loss before the Raiders was the Broncos game, right? Everything was going well. Defense looked fantastic in the first half, and Drew Lock and Denver explode for 28 points in the second half.
Yeah.
Right, that's on the defense. Herbert can only do so much. Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry, those guys can only do so much. And Herbert can continuously go out there and throw for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. But if the defense can't get a stop, it does nothing. That performance, we have 2 wins to show, really 1 win because Tyrod Taylor was a starter. We really have 1 win to show for how great Herbert has really played.
Yeah, and the biggest bunch of bunk that you'll hear from people who were down on Herbert before the draft, I'm not going to say it, but what they'll say, which is complete bunk, is that, well, you know, Herbert couldn't win the big game in Oregon, and now the Chargers are 2-6. I mean, look, when you lose 30-27, 38-31, 31-30, and 31-26, I mean, it's certainly not the quarterback or the offense's fault. It's on the defense for that to happen. So looking at the defensive side of the ball, Saray, you know, they lost Derwin James in the preseason. He's on injured reserve. What's gone wrong on that side of the ball?
I honestly think on paper, man, the Chargers have one of the most talented rosters in the NFL. And obviously every year the injury bug hits the Chargers, and it's very unlucky, man, right? This is 2 years in a row Derwin James is on IR, right? Hunter Henry had the ACL last year. Keenan Allen had some issues last year. It's just defensively, I really think that we've got to be more versatile, man, right? We traded up for Kenneth Murray, which I kind of thought was a mistake. I thought tackle was a bigger need, but I guess they took the best player available approach, which I can't argue with, but giving up what they gave up for him. I just think we got to be more versatile. It doesn't help that you're missing the best play, in my opinion, the best safety in the league when healthy and Derwin James, right? So you're losing a lot of talent and versatility there. Chris Harris goes down with an injury, right? Then you trade away Desmond King. It's the free agents you've brought in on the defensive side of ball, the players you've had on the roster just aren't healthy, right? Kenneth Murray is, man, I like Kenneth Murray. His strength is not to be in pass coverage. That's not his thing with the type of defense we play. We play a lot of zone coverage. I think we're just not asking him to do what he's good at. He's a run and chase player. That's who Kenneth Murray is. I think what's going wrong is, man, is we just got to be more versatile. We have to give teams different looks. I think that Gus Bradley is known for his zone style type of defense. You know, he did it in Seattle. He did it in Jacksonville. Jalen Ramsey came out and said, dude, in Jacksonville, we ran the same coverage, the same plays. People know what you're running, right? You've got to start to switch it up. And I think he's understanding that now. You start to see more third down pressures. It's got to be something like that. You've got to trust your secondary, whether the injury's there or not. There's still some talented guys. Play more man coverage. Just give up some different looks. I think just sitting back in zone all day is what really hurts the team. And, you know, the pass rush is good. Bosa's getting pressures. Ingram's finally back now. So the guys, man, I think injuries had a lot to do with the defense. But now it's just that we just got to give different looks. I think you've got to just throw some different sets out there for the team to just, you know, see different stuff.
So at defensive back, you mentioned Chris Harris and Derwin James on IR. Desmond King traded away. Where do you see the Chargers? Can you break down the Chargers secondary for us? Who should we expect to see out on the field there this coming Sunday?
Michael Davis will be starting at corner, would be my guess. Casey Hayward obviously still playing at a very high level. Rayshon Jenkins, Nasir Adderley, and I think Adderley's been a bit of a disappointment for everybody, honestly. But I think that for right now, that's what you see. You're going to see Trayvon Campbell, number 37. Jahlil Dye is back, so he's wearing number 36. Those are going to be the main guys, man. Obviously, Casey Hayward is the number one corner. But I think that's really it, man. I think for what Miami likes to do on offense, right, it's a lot of quick game RPO because that's what Tua excelled at. They like to leak the tight end out a lot on offense. I really think that the receiver room in Miami is a little shaky. But it's going to be a weird game. I don't know. I think that Casey Hayward should be following the number one receiver in Devontae Parker. You can match up Michael Davis with Preston Williams. Right? I think Mike Gesicki is going to be a huge problem for the Chargers defense because Rayshon Jenkins is he's a liability in coverage. So we'll see what happens, man. But those are the main guys you should be looking for.
You bet. It's a great breakdown there. On the defensive line, Joey Bosa was out last week with a concussion. They got Melvin Ingram back a couple of weeks ago. Jerry Tillery has taken a bigger step forward here in his second year. I guess my first question is, you know, we're recording this here on Wednesday afternoon. Do you have a feeling one way or another on Joey Bosa if he's going to be available for Sunday?
It was reported today that he's doing individual drills. So they said he's still in concussion protocol, but it sounds like he's moving forward. Obviously, you still have a few days to get through protocol, but it sounds like a positive that he's going through individual drills today. So as far as I know, that's what I've got on Joey Bosa. Hopefully, he can pass protocol. But the way the league has been going, man, the brain is not really something you want to play with, man. So if he's not healthy, don't throw him out there. If it's a concussion, you let him heal 100%. And I know the league is taking concussions way more serious now. So I'm assuming within the next, you know, by Friday or Saturday, we'll hear if Bosa's available or not.
You bet. And I'll just want to remind our listeners again, we're recording this on Wednesday. So don't hold it against Sir Ray if you get to Friday and turns out Joey Bosa is or isn't playing. So you can put that on me.
Thank you.
At the running back spot, as you probably know, Kalen Ballage was legendarily bad for the Dolphins last year. I watched him in the Chargers last game, and he was being a lot more decisive, making cuts. You know, they lost Austin Ekeler, another injury for them a couple of weeks ago. He'll be out this game too. And Kalen Ballage, Joshua Kelly, A couple other guys back there. How do you see the running backs? How do you see the carries being divvied up there?
Well, Austin, with as you said it, Austin Eckler not slated, I think, to come back around week 13 or 14. Funny story, before I get to your question, I actually played high school ball against Kalen Blas. He's actually a very talented dude. But he was a surprise, man, because like you said, he was bad in Miami. He was not good. He was not a good running back. And I don't know if it was just the system or the scheme. I'm not sure what it was, but Justin Jackson was reported to be injured, so I think they, Anthony Lynn said he's going to sit Justin Jackson out today or tomorrow, I believe. I think Kalen Ballage gets the start, man. He was a pleasant surprise, man. He ran with good poise, man, good vision, ran hard, man, really took care of the ball, no turnovers. It's like I was watching a different player. It wasn't the same Dolphins running back we all seen last season. I don't know what got into him, dude. But he looked like a different back. I think Balazs gets to start, and I think you'll see Joshua Kelly, the rookie from UCLA, will be backing him up.
Yeah, I have a theory about Balazs. It's kind of the same one with Herbert and why he's been successful. In Miami last year, they ran a lot of I formation with Chandler Cox at fullback, and I don't think that fit Balazs very well. And this type of offense, when I saw him get some bigger gains in the last game, he was able just to get the carry, make one move, and go forward. If he can do that, he's got the skill set to be able to do that. So it'll be a fascinating matchup there with Kalen Ballage returning to Miami.
I 100% agree. He, again, looked like a different back. Didn't ask him to do too much. Right? He obviously doesn't know 100% of the offense because he's been there for, 2 weeks, if that. But he knows enough, man. He knows enough to see ball, get ball, make your decision and go. He, like you said, he ran very, very well. Really surprised how he looked on Sunday. Hopefully I can, you know, we see another good performance like that. I like Miami's defense, man. It's going to be a good matchup.
I think it is too. And so Ray, looking at the Chargers offensive line, they've had some problems up there. Trey Turner was inactive for the last game. Brian Bulaga also left the last contest too. Again, we're recording this on Wednesday. Any thoughts on whether or not they're going to be a go for Sunday? And if not, what's kind of the backup plan for them?
Man, as far as Bulaga goes, it was a back injury, and I haven't heard much about it since. I don't think Trey Turner may have played one or two games all year, and he's so talented. It's, again, just the injury bug for whatever reason. The football gods don't like the Chargers. But Storm Norton, the guard, I believe he's at right guard now, he's been a pleasant surprise. We know about Sam Tevy will probably be playing right tackle, that Brian Bulaga is out. Trey Pipkins will maybe on the left, or it may be flopped. I can't remember. We have a lot of dudes, man, you know, playing swing positions. But the most pleasant surprise to me has been Storm Norton at guard. I believe he plays right guard. The plan, I believe, if Bulaga can't go, it may be Sam Tevy or Trey Pipkins at right tackle. Obviously, Pouncey's been on IR at the center, right? So we've been trying to, you know, fluctuate, you know, and guys in and out of the lineup since, you know, camp, basically.
I mean, Chargers are certainly unlucky. Like you said, Mike Pouncey at center is also an injury reserve. And the amazing thing is, it's not necessarily with the Chargers, like you get into October or November and you start to have guys go down and you say, okay, everybody in the league's going through that. It's like August and September that bites them every year.
Every single year. I have a buddy who's a Chargers fan, and he just always tells me, man, don't expect to go into the season fully healthy, because in my young 23 years of living and my whole life of being a fan of the team, somebody's going to go down. It's just whatever. I don't know if you need to get rid of the medical staff. We need to find a new injury prevention staff. I don't know what it is, but it's always early on in the season. And it's always a key player. It's never just a fifth round, sixth round guy. It's always somebody who plays a vital role on the roster. That's what hurts the most.
Right, yeah, and they're key players too, like you said. So, you know, personally, I feel like the Chargers are due for a win here. And even if they don't get it against the Dolphins here, I think they've got the Jets the following week. So they're going to get one here soon. What is your score prediction, Saray, for this game?
For this game, man, I'm going to say 27-24 Miami wins a close one.
Got it. That would be right in line with Vegas, who has Miami favored by 3. Thank you very much, Saray, for joining us here on the Finside, breaking down the Chargers roster. That's going to do it for our segment here. You can follow Sir Ray on the Draft Brawl podcast. Also, he follows and covers the NFL draft and the Chargers with thefirstpick.com. Be sure to check him out. And you can follow Paul and I on the Fin Side on Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio. I'm Brian Cat NFL, and Paul is Fanatic_pick. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the Fin Side. So, Lodi, take us home.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the Fin Side.
Fin Side.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the Fin Side.
Listen, Dolphins fans across the land all tuning in to see what Brian Cat and Paul about to do again.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.